Hi, this is Martha Norwalk with Animal World's fall and winter tips for you and your animal friends. With the obvious change in our weather, getting colder and wetter, there are several things that pop into my mind that are important for you to think about related to your animal companions. The first is house training. There can be related problems at this time of year with both dogs and cats. Let's start with dogs. Many do not like to go outside in the rain or when it's cold. And do you really blame them? We don't like it much either. The biggest problem is usually the small breeds, younger pups and older dogs, particularly the spoiled and lazy models. But weather-sensitive dogs can be any breed, small or large, and they can even be created by their owners. Remember, dogs are monkey-see, monkey-doers, and they tend to copy our behavior. So if you're raising and educating a puppy in the house training department, most of you probably don't mind going outside with the pup to supervise and praise the good behavior when the weather is nice. But when the weather's bad, most of you are either very unhappy during the outing, or you don't go out at all and make the dog go out all by himself. Herein lies the problem. Dogs pick up and sense even subtle feelings from their people, and they may begin to associate going out in the rain or cold with bad feelings and not want to do it. If you make them go alone, they may not go all the way out in the yard. They'll hold it to deposit indoors when they come back inside. So think about this. When the weather is good, you go out with the dog, feeling happy and saying something like, "Oh boy, outside, let's go outside," and then go potty. Good go potty, good go potty. This is great, and the dog or pup learns to like going outside. But if the weather's bad and you have an attitude change, get grumpy, and on the way outside grumble something like, "Oh, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I don't want to go outside, I hate this, come on, bozo, outside, go potty." Even if you're only thinking this, pretty soon, when the weather is bad, your dog will be thinking, "Yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I hate this, I don't want to go outside." And you will have created the problem. Now, this is easy to avoid. Keep this in mind when raising puppies or working with sensitive dogs. You can convince most dogs of anything if you have the right sales pitch. So the yuckier the weather is, the jollier you must be. "Oh boy, bozo, it's raining. Oh boy, let's go outside. Oh boy, oh boy." And act like you're going to the party of the year. You can even add a tasty little food reward. It must be given on the spot outside. This can make it even more positive. With medium to large breeds, this is usually only necessary during the house training process. Once the dogs get it, it sticks. But with small breeds and sensitive models, you may need to do a refresher course of outside and jollies in bad weather and during the fall as the weather changes to avoid a relapse in house training manners. Elderly and/or invalid dogs may require this on a consistent basis. With all dogs, I think it just makes sense to have a wonderful dry-off and warm-up ritual after outings in the rain. Give them something to look forward to. And for seriously rain-sensitive dogs, they make doggy raincoats. Some even come with built-in hoods or umbrellas. Make a canine fashion statement in your neighborhood. And remember to tell your dog friend how fabulous they look. Now, let's talk about cats. They can be weather-sensitive also. Indoor-only models, not a problem. But indoor-outdoor models can have a problem, especially if you're used to a cat that always goes to the bathroom outside. The time may come when the weather is just too bad for them to be willing to go outside. So just in case, maintain an indoor cat box for emergencies. Also, cats that go through cat doors to boxes in garages or basements may not want to use them if it's too cold. Lastly, keep in mind that if your cat friend is older or has developed physical problems, they may feel too vulnerable to go outside, and an indoor cat box may be necessary. Next on my list is a reminder. If you are going to winterize your own car, please remember that antifreeze is extremely toxic and deadly for our animal friends, and it is also extremely attractive to them because it tastes very sweet. So be very careful with it, or better yet, use the non-toxic safe antifreeze. Another general tip, as the weather gets colder, if your animals spend extended periods of time outdoors, make sure they have dry and reasonably warm shelter and fresh, clean water, especially when temperatures drop below freezing. And dogs need regular exercise, even when it's cold or wet. Heck, so do we. So keep it up. Another interesting fact about this time of year is that all bodies, animals as well as humans, need more balanced omega fatty acids during cold weather to maintain good skin and hair coats. The easiest way to be sure your animal friends are getting enough is to add the Missing Link supplement by Designing Health to their food. The need for increased omega 3 and 6 oils in their diet increases even more as we turn the heat on in our houses because this can dry out their hair and skin. So avoid winter skin and coat problems with the Missing Link. Now, the last thing on my list is one of the most important, fleas. Even if your animals have been flea-free this summer, it's still important to pay attention now. As the weather gets colder, so do the fleas. Once the outdoor temperature drops consistently below 50 degrees, they cannot survive, so they'll be looking for a ride indoors. You'll need to prepare so they don't infest your home. If you have a problem with fleas this year and you want to get rid of them, now is the time to get serious. In either case, what you need to do is pretty simple. The best way to prevent an infestation from getting started or to eliminate an ongoing one is a safe, natural product called Fleego. Fleego is a powder that you sprinkle into the carpets and animals' bedding. It dehydrates fleas and their larvae, and it really worked. It's what I use to nip fleas in the bud in my environment. You can pick it up at almost any pet store, and fleas or not, keep Fleego on hand just in case like I do. Now, if you've got a current flea problem, once the Fleego is down, bathe and or spray your dogs and cats. You can get safe, natural sprays these days, then flea comb regularly until you're sure they are gone. And keep listening to Animal World, because next spring I'll tell you what to do so you don't have a flea problem next year. Well, that takes care of my list for now, but stay tuned because Animal World will be right back. Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? Running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our fall equinox edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the internet, or you can tune us in on the radio. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. And that means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Fill out the survey, please, and click on Listen and Watch for the links that you need to stream the show. All right, remember, we still have the Missing Link giveaway to do, and you can choose from two different formulas for your dog: a cat formula, a wellness blend that's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats or to more sensitive, food-sensitive animals, bird formula, and if you want to take it yourself, we're recommending the equine formula, but see, order that directly from Designing Health. All right, and speaking of Missing Link, have a little email follow-up here from Deborah and Solomon. Solomon is her kitty, and I believe they're up in the Bellingham area. And this has been an ongoing, Solomon had huge medical issues, and Deborah called me off air, off the show, for help. And here's, and I think we've updated with her emails on the show. But anyway, Deborah says, good morning, Martha. Just wanted to let you know that Solomon has turned another corner this week. He just is his old self again. The recovery is moving in the right direction. Yay. He ended up, he had major urinary tract problems and blocking up, and it was definitely life-threatening. And he ended up having to have the urethrostomy surgery, which, you know, is kind of like a sex change operation for kiddies, only it's not done for that reason. It's done so that they don't block up anymore. And that's a huge surgery. Anyway, so he had that surgery. So continuing with her email, he is playing with Da Bird, rolling in his favorite organic catnip, and grabbing me as I walk by, eating well and poop and pee just perfect. The missing link I won a few weeks ago, I am adding to his wet food, and I am sure that has been an important part of his recovery, too. I am so thankful when you came to mind, I reconnected with you during all of this. Your heart was open and you gave me such great support and helped me wrap my head around all I was going through with Solomon and truly listening to what Solomon needed and wanted. Every night while he is being cozy with me on my lap, my heart is full of love and thanks. Many thanks for all you do, Deborah and Solomon. And then she says, was wanting to give Solomon a bath too soon? He tolerates them well, just wanted your thoughts on it. Well, I would say on that, Deborah, I mean, the good news is that he tolerates them well. I think he's had his sutures out. I can't remember on the timing, though. But if he still has sutures in, it's too soon for a bath. If his sutures are all out and he's completely healed, his little rear end, and you feel he's, you know, 100% back to normal and that this would not stress him, then I think it would be okay to give him a bath. But if there's still sutures in or it's not completely healed, and then I would hold off a bit. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. Okay. I'm so pleased he's doing so well. Okay, then. Oh, and Kat, you had some questions about bully sticks, Kathy. We were talking about off the air because you were saying that you don't buy yours at Target, but that you always read the labels on packaged things you buy for your dogs, which is good. Don't buy things made in China and look at the ingredients and all of that. But you were wondering about the healthier variety of bully sticks that you get at a high quality pet store, and why, you know, I didn't recommend that sort of thing. I have never, ever recommended rawhide of any kind, the cow hooves, the pig ears, or the bully sticks. The rawhide, particularly because it can be chewed and softened and swallowed in large pieces, it doesn't digest, it can cause foreign body blockages, can also be chemically treated, and you can have contamination problems, although that's not the biggest reason that I don't like it. The cow hooves, same thing, can be swallowed in chunks. They don't pass. They can cause problems. I had a personal experience when I tested them years ago with my dog, Chowie Golden, who held them in his stomach and got a rash all around his belly. They were in his stomach for 11 days before he barfed them up. It was really scary. The pig ears are a little bit better in that they chew up a little easier. And the bully sticks, the same thing, are chew up better than rawhide. But to me, they all fall in the same category. I don't think they're healthy. I don't think they're necessary. I think there are better chewables. I much prefer raw meaty bones. In terms of a chewable, I teach my dogs to chew supersized Nyla bones. Because they don't ingest any of it, and it's great for their teeth and gums, and it's a great chewable activity. But, you know, somebody's going to have to call me and ask me about that to go into more detail. But so that's the answer I gave Kathy is, you know, the best of all of those, I think, is the bully sticks, but get the healthiest or the best quality you can get at a higher quality pet store. But also remember, it's also beef. And beef, I don't believe, and I think there's something in Something in the news here that I'm going to get to that was making me think yesterday to remind everybody that beef is not a good edible, in my opinion, is not a good protein for any of us to be eating, humans as well as our animals. And that's as much to do with the fact that the majority of our beef sources are factory farmed or slaughtered in inhumane ways. And the emotional stress and trauma on these animals is in the meat. It affects those that eat it. And we do, and I tell you that because of the chemical studies that have been done, there are chemicals in beef when you eat them that bring out aggressive tendencies, that can bring out aggressive tendencies in humans and dogs. And I know that as a behavior therapist, and studies that were done many years ago. And I just don't recommend it. And if we're going to solve some of the other problems that I think are going that I'll get to in the news here, we have to stop eating the great volume of beef that we do. And I'm sorry if those that you know, grow cows are not happy with me, but that's my opinion. And that's how I feel about it. And now, if they were raised with love and had a quality environment and some of the, you know, like the organic farmers, and they're killed with love and all of that, well, that makes it a whole lot better. I'm still not wild about beef as a meat protein for humans or animals, because enough said.
That makes sense in regards to changing the behavior issues. But I'm thinking that was probably in the time when they were using a lot of hormones.
Well, there's hormones, beef. There's antibiotics, there's all those other issues going on with...
Maybe it's just where I shop. I tend to not want to buy that type of beef.
Yeah. Well, that's good. If you're going to eat it, at least get the good stuff.
Do they still inject all those hormones and things?
Oh, yeah. There's still all kinds of stuff going on in the factory farming and the lower echelons of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go.
But I have a question about the beef.
That would be Aji.
On the better quality beef where they're raised just humanely and grass-fed and whatever, is there something about beef as a protein, as a structure of protein that's not that
That's
compatible?
What I just said. There's a chemical in beef that interferes with chemicals in the brain, and so it can bring out angry or aggressive tendencies.
Okay.
So when I'm, as a behavior therapist, when I'm dealing with animals that have aggression issues, I always make sure beef is not a part of their diet.
Okay, but are you meaning in animals that are killed mercifully?
All organic.
There's not a way to do it.
Right. It's still there. It's still beef.
Okay.
It's still red meat.
It's the beef.
It's the beef itself. It doesn't matter how it's raised. That chemical's still in there that interferes with the brain chemical that relates to anger and aggression. I'm sorry, I don't remember all the details, but it was a study that was done a number of years ago out of a vet school somewhere in the country. So that's out of the archives, the cobwebbed archives of my brain. But I've always maintained that position as a behavior therapist and working with aggression issues.
Okay.
And I'm doing my very best these days not to eat it. You okay? All right. And here first up in the news department is the reason why I said it was going to come up. And... boy, this is just a can of worms. State officials plan to kill a pack of at least 8 gray wolves here in Washington State. And Washington officials announced plans Friday to kill a pack of at least 8 gray wolves that have been attacking livestock in the state's northeast corner. The move is likely to anger some conservation groups, you think? And deal a setback to wolf recovery efforts, though state officials said the step was necessary for sustainable long-term wolf recovery in the region. Department of Fish and Wildlife said 2 teams were in the field Friday to try to kill members of the wedge pack, is the one they're going to 86. It ranges over a remote area of northern Stevens County. Marksmen would hunt the wolves from the ground, and if those efforts were unsuccessful, they might use helicopters to aid their hunt. The pack is believed to have killed or injured at least 15 cattle from the Diamond M herd that grazes in a large area near the Canadian border, according to the statement. Now, this is where I feel the correlation comes in. Because I'm gonna save this, and that maybe Robin and the next Robin and Martha Sunday we can tune in to this energy and see if my gut on this is correct. I just don't see this reintegration of wolves. I just don't see this working with ranchers and wolves and this the whole thing. Because from what I'm reading on the sidelines, I don't know that the ranchers are willing to make the concessions that the environmentalists or conservation groups would like them to make to make the cattle that are grazing less attractive to the wolves. But what I'm feeling is I think the only way that this will work in the long run is that we have to stop farming so many cows. I mean, we have to cut, you know, and nobody's going to like that. So I just don't see this working.
Why kill the wolves? Why not just break up the pack?
Well, they tried that. They killed one of the wolves from this pack that they thought was the culprit, and the rest of the pack is continuing to do it. And see, it has to do kind of with once. The philosophy is once they learn to become dependent on cattle as a food source and they learn to hunt them, then that is a behavior that they teach, and it goes down. So
right.
The
behavior.
Theory is, okay, we'll wipe out the whole pack and then we'll hope that nobody else figures it out. Well, come on. You know, wolves are not stupid. In fact, they're very, very smart. And if they're easy pickings and there's cattle grazing all over the place with no supervision, no containment, no nothing to deter, you know, it's kind of like, well, there were mice getting in my car because, you know, there was, and then I got rid, you know, blessed them and released them, got rid of those little mice, but now winter's getting cold again and it's getting the cooler and the mice are moving in, and so I got a mouse in my car again. Well, you know, and you can talk to those little lovelies till I'm blue in the face and say, honey, stay out of my car. And they say, yeah, but hello, they're mice. They're doing what they do. So it's the same sort of thing. They're going to keep figuring. That's why I'm saying I don't see this working. Unless there's a change to the balance of all of this, and part of that could be, well, we stop eating all the beef that we're eating, and then we wouldn't have to grow all these cows. But I know there are big, well, you know, Oprah got sued for what she said about hamburgers, for heaven's sakes. It's old habits die hard, you know?
Well, for what it's worth, a lot of people I know are eating less beef. It's maybe a gradual trend that it's continuing.
Yeah.
I'm nearing I still like beef now and then, but it doesn't taste good much. I don't always get the really best quality, but it just doesn't taste worth eating.
Yeah. So anyway, I just don't see this. I understand why they're doing it. I understand the reasoning behind it. And I can't argue with all of that, but I don't see this being a long-term fix.
Well, forgive my confusion, but did I hear you say that by killing this herd, it would serve
the pack?
It would serve the long-term sustainability of the wolves?
Well, that's what the Department of Fish and Wildlife is contending. We have to wipe them out because they've learned to eat cows, and so hopefully the next pack that comes in won't learn to eat cows. But like my mouse in the car.
Yeah, I'm,
you know,
I'm
the cows are there. The They're easy. You know, it's going to happen again. So there we go. OK, now this, on the other hand, this is kind of interesting. What do you all think of this? New York City could become the largest jurisdiction to establish a registry for animal abusers. similar to the ones for sex offenders if it approves a law prompted by a man who threw his dog out of a third-story window. The measure introduced in the city council this week would require convicted animal abusers to provide their names, home addresses, and photographs for an online registry available to animal shelters and pet shops. The abusers would be barred from owning animals. Three New York counties have established animal abuse registries.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about time. I'm getting really tired of hearing about all the animal abuse stories.
And yeah.
The way the news just graphically covers it, that just turns my stomach. Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, and I'm wondering where my follow-up on that, because I wonder if I moved it out somewhere. Yes. Speaking of animal abusers, but yes, I thought that was interesting. Who knows if it'll affect what's going on, but at least it sounds like a way to let people know.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
And this is a press release from Humane Society that they support the sentencing of 6 months in jail for Ricky Lee Knowles of Ording, Washington, who was convicted of animal cruelty for beating and strangling the neighbor's golden retriever. You remember that story that the guy got, ticked off because of the dog's barking, which I do believe that, animal owners, and I get after my clients or people that ask me about this all the time. I got after a client I worked with last week whose dogs, they tied their dogs up outside of a store that they went shopping in. And the dogs barked for 10 minutes. And then when one of them went back out to finally deal with the dogs, a guy hung his head out of an apartment and really yelled at them. And they got mad at the guy. Well, yeah, he was really angry and overreacted. But they had no business leaving their dogs out there barking for 10 minutes. I'm sorry. You have a responsibility. And, it's very easy as a dog owner, a barking dog owner, you get used to hearing stuff. When you have noises in your life, you got traffic noise outside your house, eventually you get used to it and you don't hear it anymore. That's what happens to people with barking dogs sometimes.
That's true, but it also, that's an absolute lack of consideration for others.
Exactly. It is very important to be responsible. And if you have a barking dog, call Aunt Martha, for heaven's sakes. It's not that difficult to resolve.
Yes.
That's what I do here on Behavior Training and Healing Sundays. I will tell you how to fix the problem with your now change the behavior in your dogs. And so, yeah, therefore, be responsible. So, I don't know in this case of this golden retriever. Of course, I say it's a golden retriever, so of course it couldn't be doing anything wrong. I love golden retrievers, but on the other hand, and of course I say that tongue in cheek, but he lured Kona into his garage and then almost killed him with a hatchet. But the good news is that he was convicted of animal cruelty. He is sentenced to 6 months in jail and then an additional 6 months on electronic home monitoring following his release, and then he's ordered to pay $5,000 in restitution and is prohibited from owning or residing with any animals.
I would have liked to have seen a little bit of community service, i.e. work at the Humane Society or some animal shelter as part of the
sentence. That would have been a good addition to this.
Because talk about behavior modification. Obviously, he doesn't get it. He's not going to get rehabilitated when he's incarcerated. And I think he should be. But, a little community service probably go a long ways.
Yeah, would somebody argue, though, we don't want him around animals. He might abuse them, too. But, of course, he'd have to be closely supervised, probably. But, you think, well, anyway.
Martha?
Yeah?
Do you have what is your best suggestion for someone who doesn't have a barking dog, but they're sort of at the mercy of someone else's barking dog? What would be the best way for them to handle that?
Call Aunt Martha, because
can call you also. Okay.
With that all the time.
Good.
And just because, all the time, because depending on the situation, there's lots of things that you can do. For example, if you have a dog in the yard right next to yours, and you go out in your yard and the dog barks like six, you know, barks like crazy at you. Well, sometimes we yell at them. That makes it worse because that makes the dog, see, I know I was right to bark at those people. Now they're yelling at me. And so that just makes it worse. Some then try to make friends with the dog. Oh, doggy, doggy, I'm just a friend, all of that. Well, a dog that's barking, territorially barking, and sees you as a threat to their territory, even if you're trying to be nice, you're still a threat to that dog. So my recommendation in that case is you talk to the neighbor who has the dog. Make sure the dog doesn't have any food sensitivities or whatever. Get some dog biscuits, dog treats, and whenever you go out in your yard and the dog's there, don't say anything to the dog. Don't make eye contact, or if you can see them, if they're behind a fence, you don't have to worry about that. But don't acknowledge them in any way. Just throw a few biscuits over the fence. Go on about your business. Do that. Dogs, you got the right sales pitch. You can change the way dogs feel about anything. It doesn't take, even dumb ones, it doesn't take very many repetitions. A smart one, 1 to 3 repetitions, you're done. The dog says, geez, I'll bark at everybody else that I hear outside, but that neighbor's the cookie guy. Come on out in your yard more often. Woohoo! Okay. I use this trick for
That's good.
Excuse me, joggers and bicyclers. You know, if you have a regular route and dogs come out charging you and barking, don't yell at them. Don't try to make friends. Don't do any, all of that just makes it worse. Carry dog treats. And when you get there, pitch treats while you're walking by or while you're riding by. Won't take very long at all, and the dog will absolutely love you. They may bark and try to kill anybody else that comes by, but when you approach, they'll roll out the red carpet. Hey, come by my house anytime. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Dogs anticipate.
You.
Okay. Now, if that's not an option, then there are sound interruptions that also work as negative associations, that when you hear the barking in the neighborhood, you use these little screechers that I use, just a little blast. Dog goes, oh, God, doesn't take very long from that figure. Open my trap. I hear that icky noise. I better shut up. There are lots of ways. Okay. And sometimes it's just a matter of how many of you hear a dog barking, you get ticked off, but you suppress it. I don't want to complain, or it's too much trouble, or whatever. I can't tell you how many cases that I've had of a neighbor dog barking, and nobody has, the whole neighborhood's ticked, but nobody has bothered to nicely talk to the neighbor, or even not nicely. Okay, and they've become oblivious to the bark. They don't know it's bothering anybody because nobody says anything. Okay, hello. Now, see, I do have I've been doing this a long time. I got lots of answers, and that was just off the cuff for generic stuff. Okay, so anybody call? All right, let's take care. Once again, most important part of the show, our advertisers and sponsors. Pay attention. And I'm saying that extra this time. Pay attention. Ooh, hear those dogs? They're paying attention. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, I haven't said it yet, you guys. Oh, that's so fun. I love it. I just love it. All right. Even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food are exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources, protect it from heat, light, and oxygen, and send it to us, and it comes in powdered form and resealable gold foil pouches. Keep it in the refrigerator and mix up your animal friend's food, add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3-6 oils, the enzymes and the raw ingredients, the fiber. There is a Missing Link formula for cats. There's two for dogs. There's one for birds. There's the Well Blend, which is a vegetarian formula for food-sensitive dogs and cats. And there is an equine formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or ask for an extra special version from your veterinarian. You can go directly to Designing Health. If you'd like to order, you can call them at 800-774-7387. That's 800-774-7387. Remember, those that know, we're taking, us humans, we're taking the equine formula. Woohoo! And you can check them out online, www.designinghealth.com. And here we go. The missing link word of the day is equinox.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, flower essences, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and let me tell you about Robin Alexis. She's an animal communicator, gifted past life reader, medium, ghost whisperer, healer, and more. When you call into her radio show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, or when you call her for your one-on-one phone session, she listens to what your metaphysical concerns are. She can clear and rebalance your energy, plus she uses all of her eclectic psychic skills to assist you in reaching your full potential in life. I like and trust Robin so much that I work with her on a one-on-one basis regularly. Plus, I have her as a guest on my radio show, Animal World, monthly. To listen to her show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and to schedule a one-on-one phone session with her, visit robinalexis.com. That's robinalexis.com, or call her for one-on-one phone sessions at 530-859-2499. That's 530-859-2499.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Hello, I'm Eric Crema, Operations Manager for Alternative Talk 1150. We value your opinion and invite you to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com to fill out the 2012 KKNW Listener Survey. Your responses help us shape KKNW to your listening needs. Just by filling out the survey, you'll be entered to win a trip for two to beautiful Victoria, BC.
Complete contest details and your opportunity to help shape this station can be found at 1150kknw.com.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. And we are here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And boy, we got so much to do. Time is just flying right by. So delighted to be here. Now, Ajay brought up a question here a little bit ago that I didn't get to, and she wanted to know how the no-tack demo went, and I know what she's talking about. And if you don't get in your seat and get your headset on, you can't talk. She doesn't need it. anyway, she's talking about the all-breed equine rescue benefit that was done at the Rustic Farms yesterday up in Arlington, which is the Liberty training place. That's where they do the horse training that involves no equipment, no tack. And I so wanted to go to that. But I'll tell you what happened, Aj, is that I had three events that I wanted to attend yesterday. And the only way I could do two of them was to not go to the Liberty training demo. And I went to a Closer in Monroe workshop yesterday with a really fascinating and wonderful equine veterinarians that I've been connecting with over the last few months that holistically, you know, I've been looking for really great equine vets that do holistic work, chiropractic and acupuncture and all that kind of stuff since Mike Saluski isn't in the area anymore. And I've found some really neat gals, and so I'm getting to know them. And Dr. Penny Lloyd is one of them, and she did is doing seminars once a month out at their place. And I went to that yesterday. It also allowed me to connect with another doctor, and he's a human chiropractor, but he does energy and healing work on animals. And I've been hearing a lot of really good stuff about him. And so he was also presenting at this workshop. So I went to also connect with him. And I have to say, I was absolutely delighted and even more impressed than I thought I would be. And I can't wait to connect more with him. And I hope that both of them will join us as Animal World supporters and join our family of advertisers so that I can do shows with them and introduce you to them and all of that sort of stuff. So that's in the works. And then that allowed me to be able to go to the fall equinox celebration at Ananda. And otherwise, I couldn't do all of them. And so help me remember that next week when we do our Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday, and we talk to Suzette from All Breed Equine Rescue, we'll hope that they're going to do it again. And I'm sure they will at some point. And then hopefully next time I'll definitely be able to get to that because I really, really, really want to see that.
I really wanted to go too, and I didn't make it. So yeah. I look forward to the next one.
All right. Looks like congratulations to Tamar in Bellevue for winning the Missing Link this week. And she got the bird formula. So woohoo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when Sandy was our call screener and she had birds, of course, and she'd be eating, you know, the Missing Link in the morning, her birds would come over and eat it right off the dish. They really like the Missing Link, so that's good. Okay, back to finishing up news. We're almost to the good news. And next we've got contribution from our regular Animal World reporter and listener, Ed Jones, has chimed in again. And he always sends a really funny cartoon, which he did, but I have to say it's a political cartoon. Trying to keep my promise, I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
But tails from the kennel and that shows that it's a horror thing and you might
like
be able to figure out
the dark side.
Yeah, that what it might. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, he says, good morning, Martha, Mike, Kathy, and Aji. The enclosed article on elephants is not exactly in the good news category, but frequently the exposure and airing of abhorrent behavior, the treatment of elephants in this case, can induce a transition to a more responsible outcome. In the meantime, keep up all the good work on being one of the most informative and mind-expanding programs on the radio are about our fellow creatures and pets. With best regards to all. That's from Ed. Thank you, Ed. In case he's our best listener. And he did send a really good and extensive article that I, of course, can't, you know, I mean, it's pages and pages. And it is from the New York Times. It's from September. New York Times International section, and elephants dying as ivory fuels wars and profits is the article. So a horrendous photograph of military personnel discovering an elephant carcass that was poached. So if you want to read this, and apparently this is an article is in a series that will explore how the surge of poaching of African elephants both feeds off and fuels instability on the continent. So it sounds like a really good series of articles. But so that's from the New York Times. So search New York Times and you should be able to come up with this if you want to read what Ed sent. But he's absolutely right. Yes.
Is there a date on that?
Tuesday, September 4th.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, one more note. We're almost to good news. And this could be good news. It is good news in a way, but it also falls into that gray area. Yeah, that I'm not so sure, but I'm going to assume that this little critter is a volunteer to serve. And that's why this is going down, but it's his puppy born without front legs gets special care. Staff members at Osceola Animal Control have taken a 4.5-week-old puppy born without fully developed front legs into their care. Oscar, a mixed breed puppy, is named after Olympian, you know, Oscar, the South African track star who competed in London, you know, wearing prosthetic legs. Quote, at this point, we have to manually adapt and manually help him doing exercise with his legs to give him strength and keep him in the proper position. Standing, walking, running, and eating are more than a challenge for this canine. Growing will be painful and problematic, but he doesn't seem to care as he bounces around on his belly. So he's a little Chihuahua type. So he's young enough, he's small enough breed. Y'all remember all, you know, the YouTube stuff and the story about that one, I think they called her Lucky, that walks on her rear legs because she doesn't have front legs, and what a wonderful little ambassador she is. I mean, this could be the same sort of thing. But the reason it's in that gray area for me is this is a 4.5-week-old puppy that born with these deformities. You know, in the wild, this puppy would not have survived. And when they say growing will be painful and problematic, do you know, on a heart level, do we really want to put this little creature through? I mean, knowing that we live millions of lifetimes, and it's just a matter of shedding this body. The soul's eternal. He'll come right back in another one. So I have a dilemma there. But when I tuned into this, I kind of got that this guy is a volunteer, you know, to serve, and he could be an inspiration to maybe humans that have disabilities. So I'm going to take it as that. Maybe save it for Robin and I to see what Robin gets when she tunes in, but that's what I got. Okay. We are ready for the best good news about animals. Woo-hoo. How nice is that? We actually have sunshine. Okay. This is interesting. Good news from the Northwest has spread. This is just a little one. Illinois airport seeks goats. The Chicago Department of Aviation is looking for goats, you know, to trim the grass at O'Hare International Airport. You know, we started that out here with goats, trimming all kinds of things. And the department's point person for sustainability says the city is looking at a pilot program of 30 goats to eat grass and weed in one hard-to-mow areas. And they're also reporting that Atlanta recently started a similar program, and San Francisco has been using goats for years, and so have we up here. So I just thought that was neat to know that that's a spreading around. I can't wait to get to the winner of my it's just so good. The D.C. Zoo got a surprise, and a panda they've been trying to breed for 14 years had a baby panda, so... hasn't lived long enough yet to be sure. But I'm going to go through these quick because I want to get to the winner. And I wanted to get to current events, too, but we might have to do that on the other side of the top of the hour. New monkey species found in the Congo. So this is I found this in the Everett Herald. Cute pictures of these monkeys, but not very often that new species of monkeys show up. Let's see. Well, we'll save that one. And... oh, this was, I got this out of the Seattle Times. I've been hanging on this for SeaWorld Orlando breeds rare sea dragons. And these are endangered. And they look like a weird form of little seahorse. You see those pictures? So you might want to search.
Are they small?
Yeah. Yeah. They're very cool. And they're doing that at SeaWorld. Let's see if it gives a dimension on the. They are rare relatives of seahorses that in the wild are found only off the southern and eastern coasts of Australia. Although the babies look like little more than tiny tree twigs, they will eventually grow to as much as 18 inches in length. So if they, you know, they get, but a very cool photograph of these guys. Okay, now here's just for fun. Cat named Tuxedo Stan is running for mayor of Halifax, Canada. Mm-hmm. And he actually has his own little campaign signs and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's quite, see, there's Tuxedo Stan. And actually, there's actually an official campaign, and he's going to get some write-in votes. Might do a better job than some of our... Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you what. I think we will... Okay, well, we'll do both of these. This one, really good. Got this one out of the Huffington Post, out of their Good News section. Hero pets for hero vets. The stresses and trauma of returning from active duty in the military or Navy are often overlooked by society. As disabled Navy veterans themselves, nobody understands this better than Michael and Brenda Carlson. In April of 2011, they started an organization to help veterans in North Nevada deal with these stresses by providing them with pets. Hero Pets for Hero Vets was inspired by the effect a small rescue dog, Piper, had on Michael's foster father, Daniel Chapman, who is a disabled Vietnam veteran with Agent Orange poisoning. When Chapman went to visit his son and daughter-in-law shortly after they had taken Piper in from a shelter, he very quickly became enamored with her. The effects she had on him were remarkable. Quote, for some reason, this little rescue just clicked with him. They gave Chapman the dog to take home with him. Quote, within months, my father-in-law, who'd actually given up on life, had lost 40 pounds. His diabetes was under control. Brenda Carlson explains that the effect that pets can have on veterans is, quote, one of the things where we know from our experiences, the physical issues, the emotional issues, all those types of encompassing things that can come along with being a disabled veteran, our animals have really helped us a lot, too. So isn't that great? They started an organization, start doing this on a regular basis, and it really is amazing what caring for an animal can do for someone in lots of circumstances.
What was the name of the organization?
Hero Pets, number four, Hero Vets. So Hero Pets for Hero Vets. See the article if you want. Okay, are you ready? Ready for the best good news? I just love this story.
Drum roll?
Yeah, I keep forgetting to have Mike find us a drum roll, please. Because this one, I mean, I've never heard of this. Wait till you hear this. German Shepherd stands watch over his owner's grave for 6 years. Wait till you hear this. A German Shepherd from the Cordoba province of Argentina is setting a new bar for eternal loyalty. He's kept vigil at his owner's grave every day, lying down in front of the tombstone at night. The dog named Capitan keeps a steady watch, never veering far from his duty as man's best friend. He's done it for 6 years. Quote, during the day, he sometimes has a walk around the cemetery, but always rushes back to the grave, said the cemetery's director. And every day at 6 p.m. sharp, he lies down on top of the grave and stays there all night. But there's more to the story about a dog who doesn't understand the point or the need of saying goodbye. To be sure, Capitan displays an impressive ability by standing guard over his owner, but he displayed an unworldly one in simply finding the grave in the first place because nobody took him there. Reportedly, his owner passed away in a hospital and was taken to a funeral home and then to the cemetery. None of the family members recalls the dog being present at any of those sad places. In fact, nobody even noticed that the dog had disappeared from the home after the funeral. The following Sunday, we went to the cemetery, said the deceased person's wife. She said, Capitan came to us, barking and wailing as if he were crying. We had never taken him to the cemetery. So it's a mystery how he managed to find the place. The dog followed the family home that day, but quickly returned to stand watch. The cemetery's director said the dog had arrived alone one day and wandered around the grounds for a while before finding the grave by himself. Is that so special? How cool is that?
It's really something.
Yeah. Wow. I just love that story. Okay. Well, there you go. Talked our way through another hour. Phone lines will be open if you have any behavior training or healing questions or issues that you want to talk about. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. You can send us email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We're going to turn this hour around. We'll come back. I've got animal TV to talk to you about. And I've got... I had a recipe for dog biscuits. Don't know if I'll get to that. But I wanted to talk to you and share with you the latest on the raw food controversy and the contaminated chicken jerky treats and all of that sort of stuff. So we've got a lot to do. So stay with us. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.